Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North, I'm Elise Quinn. On May 11th, the United States hands over the rotating Arctic Council chairmanship to Finland. And it's a time to take stock of what the international community has accomplished in the Arctic over the last 2 years, where the mischances may have been, and to look ahead to where we go from here. Now, joining us today to help us look at the U.S. chairmanship and to better understand what we should be watching for next week beyond the headlines, we're joined now by Heather Exner-Perot. She's managing editor at the Arctic Yearbook, and her work will be very familiar to our listeners and readers through her blog on Eye on the Arctic. She joins me today from the Canadian city of Saskatoon. Heather Exner-Perot, hello.
Hello.
So let's start off with the U.S. chairmanship. If you had to give it an overall grade, what would it be?
I think probably a B+. It was a solid chairmanship. I think it had less drama maybe than the Canadian chairmanship had before it. Good. The senior Arctic official chair was a very steady hand and seemed to be widely respected. And not a lot of turmoil within the Arctic Council, say, about, you know, Russia, geopolitical events.
Where did the U.S. chairmanship get it right?
It wasn't all good, I'll say. It started off, I think, much more rocky, especially between Washington, D.C. and the State Department and the Obama administration and Alaska, which is, you know, much more Republican. And they just were not on the same page. And it seemed to me, maybe from a Canadian perspective, that they were really airing some dirty laundry also in public, or at least the Alaskans were, with kind of, you know, that we were all allowed to see the disagreements that were happening between them, particularly around, you know, where the priorities were. Where Obama and the State Department wanted to prioritize climate change and the effects of climate change on the Arctic. In Alaska, they were really focused, again, on the people who live there and their living conditions and their chance at a better life, including employment.
Sort of like what we heard from the Canadian chairmanship.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And the Alaskans quite liked the Canadian approach, you know, to discussing with the territories, indigenous peoples, and so on, and focusing on development. So I would say those first few months were quite rocky, and it's, you know, at any rate, it has smoothed over. And Alaska's taken quite a high-profile role, really, in welcoming people and having events.
And so you said, you know, sort of as it went along, it got stronger and stronger. Is there anything that you think they could have done better? Was there any missed opportunities? Or do you think that it, as it got stronger, it went along, those issues became less and less?
I will say that I think the State Department did a good job of making the issues not mutually exclusive, that you could have focus on climate change and still focus on socioeconomic and living conditions. And I think they, you know, this is a very fine balance in the Arctic Council. I think this is probably the most, you know, dominating issue year after year. Where is the balance between the environmental protection and sustainable development? And I think the U.S. chairmanship in its second year did as good a job as anybody could, you know, appeasing kind of all those different constituents.
Let's talk for a second about the election of Donald Trump. There was a lot of concern after his election about how it would affect the Arctic Council, even the ministerial. From your read, how much of an impact did it actually have on the day-to-day work of the council, given all the concerns that we heard initially?
Well, these are not the kinds of things that diplomats like to talk about out loud, so a lot of this is speculation, but certainly, there's not the messaging. I think the Arctic Council chairmanship team has had to work without a lot of guidance from above, a lot of confirmation on what they're going to say and how they're going to say it, because the Trump administration doesn't have a strong foreign policy. I don't think they have any Arctic foreign policy plans whatsoever. And from all accounts, you know, again, this is my speculation, Rex Tillerson has not been involved, you know, kind of in any minute detail on this subject. So in that sense, they've just kind of been going along as they could, as much as they could. But for Arctic Council observers such as myself, I mean, you know, lowercase observers, this is great. We didn't want Trump's foreign policy to interfere in as much as they were coming in under the radar. That was probably the best for this ministerial and for the declaration that's going to come out of it.
And let's just touch on briefly the U.S. deliverables. Are we going to have that sort of big ticket item that makes a splash, or is this going to sort of be low key in terms of what we've seen compared to the end of previous chairmanships?
And this is where, where it's kind of business as usual, and where I think the U.S. Arctic Council chairmanship succeeded is in the deliverables. It's kind of a regular ministerial, which is a good thing. But they do have the one big ticket item is the scientific cooperation agreement. And this might seem like inside baseball to a lot of people, but it's very important for scientists to be able to move, especially across, in the Russian Arctic and Russian scientists moving, to the North American Arctic to do science, to move equipment. The equipment can be, very technical, very strange, maybe for border officials. So to be able to do this much more smoothly should really help, leverage each other's strengths and resources in Arctic science. So it's, the devil's in the details in that one, but I think that'll be the big deliverable, and it'll be shown as really great Arctic cooperation between Russia and the West.
And so next up to bat is Finland. And what is your early read on their priorities and sort of about the chairmanship's return to Europe after 4 years in North America? Is this going to shift the boat, so to speak, or are you expecting to sort of see the same kinds of ideas and priorities going ahead?
I will say there's a surprising amount of continuity between the United States and Finland, which is planned. Between Canada and Sweden, where I think people are on different pages, where for Sweden the Arctic really was about the environment, and for Canada it really was about, the people of the North, there was a bit more of a gap between those two. But Finland and the United States are really talking about the same things. What I found interesting about Finland, if you have any Finns who are colleagues, they're usually kind of low-key, quieter people, but this Finnish chairmanship has been, quite... talking about Finnish know-how, talking about Finnish branding, talking about the opportunity for Finland. It's been quite, I don't think aggressive is the right word, but certainly putting themselves out there. So that's been interesting, I think, to watch. And the one thing that I just don't agree with is the Finnish president recommending to host an Arctic summit during its chairmanship, including Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, which I don't want to see, and I don't think would be good for Arctic politics.
And we should maybe just remind our listeners that this was a meeting to be held sort of outside of an Arctic Council gathering.
That's right, and the United States did that too. So they had two meetings, Glacier in Alaska looking at climate change and Arctic Council White House Ministerial, that weren't technically Arctic Council events. And the reason for that is that you can invite a different number of states or observers to participate in a different way. And so Finland, looking at an Arctic summit, though, I think they were thinking of the Arctic 8 states. So even though it wouldn't be an Arctic Council event, there's nothing in the Arctic Council, agreement or declaration, the Ottawa Declaration, that would support something like this, that calls for something like this. But it would be more of the Arctic 8 than the American initiatives have been.
And the ministerial is on Thursday, May 11th, and we could say that the Arctic Council, I think most people, Arctic watchers, agree they do, very important work, but it still remains sort of an opaque organization outside of sort of the Arctic community. But we do see during the handover of the presidency more headlines, more coverage of the forum and what it does. For people that are listening to this that might not be intimately familiar with the details of the council, what should we be watching for next week? What are some of the things to keep an eye on or things that will keep it interesting?
Things that will keep it interesting is if there's any monkey wrenches thrown in by the Trump administration, for example, on the messaging around climate change, which is central to what the Arctic Council does and what its working groups have done. Will there be, any up above, a kiboshing of anything like that? Will there be tension? Sergey Lavrov will be there, the Russian foreign minister, Rex Tillerson will be there. So international eyes will be on it just to see, what is the interaction? What is the, what is the mood, I guess, between those? And, I think the Arctic Council stuff, the stuff that the senior Arctic officials and the executive group and the working groups have done, is pretty straightforward, pretty good stuff. So the thing to watch is, will politics intervene or not?
Well, Heather Exner-Perot, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks, Avish.